Okay. A little quick review before we get into the next lesson. Next lesson that we're starting on is page 26. Okay. Page 26 is praise. But before we go into that, just a quick review. We noticed from some of the things that we looked at from the last class that these examples of prayer, that this, when they were praying, especially when we looked at the psalmists and stuff, this shows their trust and belief that God does hear. And not only that He hears, that He's able to answer these prayers. Now, God might not answer in the way we want or in the time that we want, but He is able to answer our prayers. So we need to understand and trust that He's all-knowledgeable, and knowing about this, knowing of His great knowledge, and knowing His great love for us, this should give us comfort when we approach Him. So, but we need to use this avenue in order to receive these benefits from it. Now, the first prayer, or first type of prayer that we looked at in letter A, was petition. So what is the meaning of this type of prayer? What is petition?
To ask.
Okay, to ask. So we're going to God asking things. It could entail different types of prayers. Some other prayers, other types of prayers are petition as well. did Hannah, when we looked at the example in 1 Samuel, did Hannah believe in prayer, in this petition?
Yes.
Okay, she did. We can see from this example the power of prayer. She went to God because of this problem she was going through, not being able to have children. This was really wearing down on her. And what state was she in that we read about?
She was very distraught.
Okay. Distraught, depression. Okay. But did this, by going to God in prayer, did this change anything about the way she was, her state?
It was a great comfort to her.
Okay, it was a great comfort to her. And we see that it even shows that that she was no longer sad, is I think the wording that it used. So we must be able to trust and believe that God hears and is able. And because one thing we looked at as well, that when she did this, her, I don't think of the right wording, but her being, going from sad to joyful, all of that took place just out of praying. It was even before before God answered this. So it had to do with her trust and belief in God.
Greg,
yes, sir.
Comment. I know it's made classes and studies, but this world, I think that's one of the reasons why they're in the shape they're in, as far as emotionally and mentally, is they don't have anywhere to turn to. And they turn to the drugs, they turn to the psychiatrist, they turn to everything but the Lord.
It's sad.
And that takes them nowhere.
Yeah.
It's absolutely no, except in worse condition than they started, you know. Because it's just in the comfort that you can have in the Lord.
Great comfort.
And the message is true. You know, that's, you can't even describe that. It's just, you know, you really can't. The comfort that you can have there, the Lord. It's indescribable.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know why folks keep turning to something that doesn't do them any good, but that's just why I think
they do. But then they do, yeah, that's true.
Leading nowhere. It's sad, but it is.
Good point.
Condition, mental anguish that people go to. Because you see in your own lives, you know, like this.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay. We also, then we looked at confession, and we see that forgiveness depends on confession. And when we look at the examples in Psalms, where David was confessing his sin, we see mixed in there this idea that these, we see these words of confession that he was saying, but also these words that have to do with the forgiveness. Now, when we looked at the example of the slave, what did that teach us? And we also noticed this. This was also mentioned in Matthew when Jesus is showing us how to pray. What did this teach us about forgiveness?
Compassion and patience.
Okay, compassion and patience. So, but if we're to ask God and we're wanting Him to forgive us of
He's
something,
He's going to forgive us the way we forgive others.
Okay, so we need to be forgiving others. Okay, yeah. And we looked at that in the example of the slave.
Forgiving heart.
Yes, sir. Got to have a forgiving heart. All right. There any thoughts or comments on that? If not, we'll go into our lesson then of praise. If you'll turn over to Psalms 148. I want to read the first five verses. Psalms 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. So we see something in these first five verses that these things mentioned, and there's other places besides these five verses, but these things mentioned, these things in themselves praise God. So, why is that? What aspect of these things mentioned praise God? Yes?
Because He created them.
Okay, because He's the Creator. He created these things. And verse 5 explains this. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for, it says, for He commanded and they were created. Okay, so we see that idea of as the Creator. In Daniel, Daniel 4, let's go ahead and we'll read Daniel 4, 34 through 37. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, what have you done? At that time my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom, and my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all His works are true and His ways just, and He is able to humble those who walk in pride. So why did Nebuchadnezzar give God this praise? Why did he praise God?
Because His works were true and His way was just.
Okay, so he recognized His worthiness, and he had some help with recognizing this worthiness. So, but look at the outcome. In verse 37, it says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all His works are true and His ways are just, and He is able to humble those who walk in pride." So when when Nebuchadnezzar praised, exalted, and honored God, how did he do this? What was he speaking of that honored God?
He was humbled.
His dominion? Okay, right. He talks about his dominion and kingdom and spoke of his power. Yes, sir?
Just back up to the end of verse 32. What was going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar when he put on him? He said, till you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. So, okay. Nebuchadnezzar found that out.
Right.
Very quickly.
Yes. Yeah, he had a little help in understanding this, but yes, sir. It's a good point.
Until you humble yourself before the Lord, I guess no one said that, which he didn't do on his own.
Right.
The Lord put him in this place, you might say.
Right. But he still, the outcome still, he recognized.
He said, if I know him,
yes, sir.
It happens to us, and the Lord disciplines us for our own good.
Right.
Sometimes we don't see it, but it's good for our own good.
Right. Any other thought? Yes, sir.
Craig, I think sometimes it tests my faith today that, first we looked at verse 32, he is the ruler of the realm of mankind. And we know God establishes orders, sets up rulers, and so forth. And sometimes we read that in the Bible and say, yeah, I believe that. But what about today? He's still doing that today. And today with the world affairs and everything that's going on, sometimes we got to keep realizing and telling ourselves God's still in control. He's still
right.
Founding countries. And he's still active, just like he was back here during the time of Nebuchadnezzar.
Right. So we don't know. I mean, that's why we can trust in his knowledge and what he's doing. We don't necessarily know how he's doing these things, but we can trust that he is. Any other comments or no? In First Chronicles. First Chronicles 29:13 says, we praise your glorious name. And I put, how did he praise his name? If we look in verses 10 through 12, it has to do with praise, or to praise is to give honor due, and because God is praiseworthy and deserving of praise. It says in verse 10, so David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. So we see here that God is worthy of our praise and devotion, and he deserves and expects that from us. In Exodus, Exodus 15:2, at least my version reads, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will extol him. Now, so this verse, I'm reading from the New American Standard 95, and mine says extol. I think New King James says exalt. Does anybody else have anything different?
Praise.
Just praise. And on
the Bible says praise.
The bottom of 15:2.
I think so.
Where it says, "My God, and I will
Yes. I will.
I'll try soon.
Huh. Okay. And which version is that one?
New King James.
It's a New King James?
The next the third sentence. Okay, my Father's God and I will exalt him.
Yes.
Okay, exalt. Okay. Okay, so extol or exalt.
Help her out.
And so what word in this verse is used parallel to this extol or exalt?
Praise.
Okay, I will praise him. So some of these things that we just looked at, whether prayers or things from verses, that these can help us explain what praise is. Praise can be done in many ways. You can praise in song, in word, in action. So when we praise in prayer, what we are saying gives God honor. We honor Him by recognizing who He is and His great power. But not only His power, His wisdom, and His loving kindness. We need to have this kind of attitude when we pray. And so, do we think of that when we pray? Do we praise, exalt, and honor Him as we pray? So, if we truly do believe in prayer, then really the act of prayer, approaching Him, gives Him praise and honor. Yes, sir.
Another thing I think is common thread throughout all of these texts is humility. I think God expects us to be humble-minded, and we have to have that spirit of humility when we pray. I don't think God would hear our prayers if not, that not being the case.
Right. You need to be humble. Any other thoughts or comments or before we go into our next type of prayer? No? Okay. So the next type of prayer we're going to look at is thanks. So we see that thanks and praise are used together a lot when you're at the examples we see. And if we understand why we should honor God, and then doing this, we should be thankful. Giving thanks or thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude for blessings that we have already received. We have so much to be thankful for and should want to give Him thanks. So we should be honored to have this ability to speak to God. So do we use it? We need to use it. Let's look at Romans for just a minute. We have already kind of touched on this verse before. In Romans 1, verse 20 and 21, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in the speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." So, what was the problem that they had here?
They were not honoring God and giving thanks.
Okay, they weren't giving Him thanks. And verse 20 even explains that you know, this was without excuse. And how do they know God?
Observation.
Okay, observation of the things that surround them. Okay, so they were without excuse.
You go back to Psalms 148 and you can see how we know God and how we know what His power is by the things that He's done.
He's done, right. Yes, ma'am. And that some of the things here is invisible attributes, eternal power, and His divine nature. So these things that are created. Now these people were without excuse. They did not honor and thank God, and or thank God, the creator and giver of life. So we are without excuse. We better and should want to honor and thank God. We need to thank Him for this life, the blessings we have in this life, and also the blessings of life eternal. And so the question is, do we? That's just something for us to think about. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, speaking to Christians, it says, "In everything give thanks." You don't have to turn there, because I just wanted to note that, "In everything give thanks." Now we can turn over to Philippians. So we are to have an attitude of thanksgiving in our prayers. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." I just wanted to note the idea of our thanksgiving. And then Colossians 4:2, went too far. There we go. Devote yourself to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So we see this idea of being thankful, this attitude of thanksgiving in our prayers. We have so many things to be thankful for in these past week or weeks, whatever you want to call that. I think that's helped us even look to these things. There's so many little things we take for granted. I'm sure everyone here at least had a couple of days without power, without air conditioning, without lights. Little things that we can take for granted, but we have a lot of things to be thankful for. Physical blessings, natural blessings, these creations we can see, and most of all, spiritual blessings. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I'm sure something that has brought that to the forefront of my mind. My little boy, I let him or Morgan pray, you know, a few times. I'm going to pray at the table. And, you know, the prayers of a little child, they enumerate every blessing that they can think of. And I got to thinking about them. And, you know, you get points. It's okay. You know, but you get to thinking about that, and you know, you think about the song, "Count Your Blessings." We're supposed to think about everything that the Lord does for us, and they literally do that. And we ought to do that more often, and maybe not to the extent that they do, but we ought to think about the things like you said. Mm-hmm. Those truly are blessings, and I tell them, you know, what about these people over there that we support, that are happy, that you have? And they're things like you're talking about. They don't have electricity.
Right.
Water supply. We'll take those for granted.
Oh, because all the good things we have in this country, I haven't been out of the country, but I know some that have, and they could probably tell you a big difference of the way some people's lives are. And
here's my
how,
boy thanking for the water to drink. And I'm going, you're thinking, okay, we ought to do the same, is my point. We're thankful for the things we
should always be on our heart and our thoughts.
But we thank for things that big, adults, and that we can take that too far, as far as just cover the big. Well, we need to thank literally for all the things God gives us. We do. I'm not saying we don't, but I'm just saying
right.
We need sometimes be more.
Well, sometimes we can.
Right.
We can overlook.
Right. We
the
need to be more specific.
Things like
that, as God said, thank for everything, all things. As He does, He gives us everything we have. We take things for granted sometimes. Anyhow.
Yes, sir. Any other comments? Okay. So if we're truly one that is thankful, then that's how we should want to start our day. You know, I don't see how we can get up in the morning and not be thankful. Like what you said, we take too many things for granted. And each day that we have is a day that God has given us. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I think we, especially with society, because you hear songs and different things like that where they're talking about, like, there's a given number, everybody's going to be 100, but, you know, even the guy that sings this knows, because he knows somebody, I'm sure, that has passed away. You know, so it's, but it's ideas of that. People think that we're just, oh yeah, well, I'm young, I've got at least this amount of years. Well, you know, and we know that our attitude should be if the Lord wills it. So we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And we need to be thankful for each day that we have. And our prayers need to reflect that. We have to, there's so much we can be thankful for. Our homes, the safety we've had during the night. Because, I mean, especially with the things that go on in the world, you could have something happen at your home, you know. You don't know. So being given that next day and the safety and the comfort that we have from our homes, that's one thing we should be thankful for. It sheltered us from, well, even like this upcoming storm, some of the people stayed in their homes. And yeah, you might have had some damage, but you were pretty much granted safety in that home. And if you were, then we should be thankful for that. Because our homes offer a shelter from people, from, and you know, the weather and whatever. And these are things that God allows us. We should be thankful, like we were looking at in the previous lesson, the creation, all these natural blessings that we have. The ability to enjoy these blessings, you know, our health or whatever. And also, I think of our senses sometimes. Because you look at the things out there, these beauties that we see, so there's a sense there. You can hear things, the gentle breeze as we sing in one of our songs. You know, there's different things you can hear, you can see, you feel, you touch. There's, with these blessings that God has given us, He's given us a way to enjoy these things. And we need to enjoy these natural blessings. I think we take them for granted and don't enjoy that in life sometimes. So to touch, see, smell, hear, etc. These can be used with our natural blessings that God has given us. So we should be thankful for the husband-wife relationship, our spouses that we have, our children, our brethren. You know, there's a lot of things that we can be thankful for. So the question is, are we thankful? Do we thank Him? Of course, like we've looked at before, He knows our heart, but if we have that kind of heart, we're going to be a people that come to Him, and we're going to give Him thanks and praise. And that's just a few ideas that I had for us to be thankful for. Yes, ma'am?
I just had a thought with what you were saying. I don't know who sent this email around, if all of y'all have seen it, but it's a second grade class or something, and teachers wanted the children to write down what the seven wonders of the world were. This one child just couldn't seem to get it, so they offered help, and she said, well, there's just too many. I couldn't figure out what seven it was. And she had to see, to hear, to feel, and those kind of things, to love. And, kind of put everybody else in their place because she knew that what was really wonderful were those kind of things, not, you know, architecture.
Well, good. Good. I hadn't seen that. That's
that one?
No, ma'am. Well, thank you. Any other thoughts or comments? Or,
no? You had mentioned a little bit earlier about things happening in the home, or you know, being thankful that we have a home, and a lot of times I hear, you know, and I've been guilty of it myself, you know, thankful that we don't have to live in fear, you know, because we're not, you know, we can come together, you know, we live in the United States, mm-hmm. you know, we have the freedom to come together, and we don't have to live in fear.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, at times, they do live in fear because of the dangers of the world.
You mean as far as the way people look at them?
Because no, because of like things coming, someone coming in to their
right.
home and hurting them.
Right.
And it's just the worldly aspects, you know, that they...
Well, I think there's a sense that those things are okay, but they, you don't want that to be
no, you
your
want,
main focus.
No, you're right.
Right.
But you want to go in, you want to keep your eyes open to the dangers out there, but you can't shut yourself up in your your home because of what might happen.
Right.
You know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And just, you know, like I said, you know, you may not wake up the next day.
Right.
And that happened in your home.
Yeah. So I guess really a good thing to focus on that, you know, the things we go through in life, you know, there's going to be things that happen. We're not guaranteed health and wealth, and so really our attitude should be is not to dwell on those things. Of course, we have to face these things. There might be decisions we have to make that has to do with these things, but that shouldn't be our focus as far as we can't let them wear us down. We need to focus on the blessings in Christ. Did you have a comment? Yes, sir.
We read this earlier, or we read the verse before it actually earlier, Colossians 4:6. Colossians 4:7, and here's a section of Colossians is Paul deals with things of a material nature, but it's interesting in the middle of this that after saying in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and then goes to say, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Despite the fact that there's material things being dealt with here, we're not to be anxious about those things. In the final analysis, it doesn't matter what's going on around us,
right.
We can be at peace.
Right.
For God has granted that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And no matter what the world throws at us, ultimately, God has said what He would do for us.
That comfort. Well, and even Paul, I mean, I just saw that when you said that, where he had, I can't even think offhand where it is, but where he had mentioned, you know, that even in times of prosperity and times of not, you know, those things weren't the focus. You know, the peace that he had in Jesus was a focus. Did you have a comment, Rocky?
Yeah, I guess on the list of things to be thankful for, we can look at a lot of our physical things in this life and definitely be thankful for.
Right.
A lot of spiritual things we can be thankful for because we can read about them, Christ and so forth. But what about all the things that are unseen that we don't know about that need to be thankful for? I got a couple of examples.
Okay.
For example, as we read the Bible, we know the Holy Spirit was involved, guided these men, it's complete, everything that we need. What about the role of the Holy Spirit in preserving this word through time, you know, from the first century to now? We have the word here, and, you know, how was it preserved? And we don't know about God's providence and His workings, but it's kind of hard to imagine the Holy Spirit not being involved in preserving the word through unseen action. And related to that, what about if we look at ourselves individually in hearing the gospel? What role did God, the Holy Spirit, have in us coming across people or hearing about the gospel? You know, those are things that, you know, I think we need to give thanks for.
Yeah.
And another example, you know, we read in Ephesians 4 about how God gave, very familiar verse, God gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. But He gave. Definitely those are gifts. Definitely He appointed the apostles. Those were men that were selected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you definitely have there's authors. You know, He talks about teachers and pastors and prophets. And the Holy Spirit guided them. But what role do men like Brother Fontenot, what role did God have in bringing Brother Fontenot here? We can't really prove that.
Right.
But did He have some involvement? We have elders, Wally and Steve. What role did... Here we are, we have these men, we're benefiting from them. It was God's plan that they were. What role did God have in selecting those men and us coming across and being here and having those men influence? So my point here is there's a lot of things we can thank you for, but a lot of unseen things.
Right.
We've got to also need to thank.
That's a good point, Roger.
Really can't pinpoint, but no doubt God is involved. We know He's a providence. A lot of providence we just don't physically see or can understand.
Right. Good point. Any other thoughts on it? Yes, ma'am.
How many of us are thankful for our jobs?
Yeah.
And how much? I personally am very thankful that I have a job.
Right.
My children should be too.
And we are.
But a lot of people, you know, they complain about their job. Right. They hate the fact they have to go to work. And I was at that point. I resented very much the fact that I had to go to work. But I'm not at that place anymore. I'm very thankful that I have a job. I have the right kind of job. And I made it very clear to many people who think I'm totally nuts that God handed me that job. Because it's the perfect job for me. And I'm be eternally grateful.
Well, that's true. I mean, with our jobs and all the things, because I think of sometimes I'm not real pleased with where I'm at, but I still give thanks to have a job. I mean, because even if I'm asking to help me understand what to do, because sometimes you don't know, should I stay here? Should I try to do something different? But even when we're doing that, our attitude should always be, but, you know, I'm thankful that I have a job. So there's a lot of things we can be thankful for. Yes, sir?
I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve the Lord and to serve His people. And, you know, I find that when I'm down, when I've got some problems maybe to be said, the best way to get that off my mind is to go help somebody else, to help them, because that gets my mind off whatever might be oppressing me.
Right.
And that's, you know, the best thing you can do is to help somebody else. At least that's what I find. Plus, I'm grateful to be able to do that. That's, you know, that honors and glorifies the Lord. That's, you know, that's a thing that we're able to do, we should do, and it helps us. That's something I'm very grateful to do. They don't get to do as often as I'd like, but that's a blessing we have.
Okay. Are there any other thoughts or comments?
I was just going to say one of the things that I was thankful for. Don't hit me, but I was actually kind of thankful for the hurricane.
Okay.
Because without it, and I'd never been through a hurricane. I'd never been through a disaster like that before. And at the time, going through it, I know I didn't want to be there. But the outcome from it, it was a learning opportunity. But it was also an opportunity that I think it gave us as a family to be able to help the people on our street that we never would have met.
That's true. Because we did, and I'm sure a lot of people ran into that. I mean, we got to know people that we normally just never knew. And
we've been in the neighborhood for how many years and never once met some of those people. And then because of this, we were able to help them clean up their backyard or take down trees and got to meet them. And
and we don't know what opportunities might come out of that. Okay. Any other thoughts or comments on that? So we've got about 5 minutes. So let's see where. I think we were. Okay, we just kind of looked at the things we have mentioned, this natural and physical blessings. And also what Rocky had said, that was a good comment. I think I need to add that in there. And we also need to think of most of all the blessings in Christ, you know, these good blessings we have. And without Christ, you know, we wouldn't even have this avenue. It's through Him that we have this avenue to go to the Father in prayer. So, do we think about that? Do we think about Christ in our prayers? Now, I think what I'll do, I'm going to read some of this. I had a question here. It says, please take the time to think about this for a minute. I don't know if y'all looked over this or not, but please list a few things that we should be thankful for. These might be things you already have, that you already thank God for, okay? But let's try to think hard and maybe recognize some things we don't pray about or haven't thanked God for lately. And some of that's what Rocky had shared with us. Let's think about these things. And I don't want to start it now because we only have a couple more minutes. So if you haven't already done that, please look at that, because I want to pick up there in our next class. So be prepared to share this with the class. You know, doing this with the idea that we might help one another be mindful of some things that might help us to be more thoughtful of our blessings. Are there any thoughts or comments? We've still got about 2 minutes or so. Any thoughts or comments on anything?
We got a few minutes there, Craig.
Yes, sir.
Back in Romans 1:20.
Okay. 21.
You know, it's interesting. We kind of have a contrast here being made. The things have been made. When you think about that, what is that? Well, that's evidence that is witness. And when you think about the magnitude of that, it's just overwhelming. We have God's creation, know that He exists. Mm-hmm. So you put that kind of on one side. So you have God's evidence. And then you look at the people that don't honor Him, and you look at the other side, and what do they have? What do they deal with? Where's all their evidence? They're dealing with speculations. You have all this evidence, and they're dealing with speculations. And as a result of that, God describes how they are. They're futile. They're foolish. It's just they're darkened. And then they're speculating. They want to be wise, but they're foolish, as God describes them. And it's just amazing how God in everything He does, the evidence He provides in all aspects just overwhelms us. And by not accepting it or realizing that, we're just foolish with them.
Yeah. And you're going to see people that do that, yeah.
Unfortunately, the majority are in that camp.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Okay, so next class we'll pick up here on this question.